It's Thursday, January 14th. It is divisional round action, and we're here to cover it all on the Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You podcast. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. And Matt, I think we did a good job last week. We got, to my count, we kind of gave like seven bets, and then we hit four of the seven, and we got five of six games pretty much down to what we thought they were going to be. Obviously, Brown Steelers, not so good. And the bet I lost in that one, I told you guys, was Baker Mayfield under passing yards. He averaged like 3.5 yards per air attempt. It wasn't like a bad bet. It was just, we kind of got a bad beat on that. And look, we nailed the first game. Colts, Bills. We got the Ravens correct on this one, which we love the Ravens. So how you feeling this weekend?
I'm feeling pretty good. My Taylor Heinicke jersey hasn't arrived yet, so I'm a little upset about that. But no, it was a fun weekend. I ended up getting on the wrong side of a few numbers, and I was on the Titans, which so I took a hit there. But it was a really fun weekend, and the wild card weekend. I loved the six games. Bless you. I loved the six games. It was a blast. There's a lot to talk about. You guys did a lot of it already, but yeah, I don't know. It was fun. I think this weekend's going to be even better.
So before we move on to the games this weekend, as a Washington football fan, congratulations on finding your future backup quarterback for many years.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Doug Peterson getting fired? We kind of reacted to that a little bit on Tuesday, but that's still kind of a story. Yeah. And the Eagles' job kind of sucks. So as a Washington football fan, how do you feel about that job being open?
They will not do better than Doug Peterson, right? I mean, they're a mess. I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but I think they're something like $90 million over the cap next season. I shouldn't be just making the numbers up, but if they cut DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey, they're $70 million over the cap still. And those are the obvious ones. So they're a mess. And I don't know why they moved on from Peterson. I assume it had something, to do with the relationship with Wentz. But I don't know, man. Like, they for this little bit of time, they have the most valuable asset in football, which is that rookie quarterback on that contract. And their team is so screwed that they're not going to be able to capitalize on it. So I feel bad for him, man. I mean, I heard the Jets might be interested in him. So I think that'd be a nice fit for him.
It feels very clearly like this was a decision made by Doug Peterson himself, because they give him no say whatsoever at all in the personnel. Like, I mean, yeah. I get there's a good way to run a team is typically to have separation of powers, right? The GM chooses the personnel and the coach just coaches them. But you have to have some cohesiveness, right? You have to have some idea of who you guys want, of who fits your system. And Howie Roseman kept drafting guys that weren't any good and then kind of blamed Doug for it all. So I think Doug was like, screw it, I'm out. Yeah. But yeah, it's still a story, and we'll see who gets the job. There's seven openings this year, seven openings, and no one's been hired yet. Lots of people floating around, and we'll see who gets hired. But there's not a job open this weekend. We got eight playoff teams, four will advance to the conference championship weekends, and I think three of the games we are like, we are in on. Tampa, New Orleans, which we'll talk about. I think it's the last game we'll talk about. It's odd where there's a game with two Hall of Famers playing. Yeah. We're just like, I don't know what to do in this game. So let's start off with a game that I like, aside in this one. Start going, buddy.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll go in order. So we're taping this Wednesday night. Currently, it's the Rams are 6.5-point dogs at Green Bay. It's gone 6.5, 7. What side are you on?
So I kind of like Green Bay here, under a touchdown. And this line opened at 7 and kind of was bet down through 7. I'm kind of surprised it was. And I feel like this is a little bit of a reaction to the Rams winning this past weekend. There's chatter now that Jared Goff might not start. They might go back to Wolf. Jared Goff was benched. He was benched. Yep. He dressed. I know he had the thumb injury, but he dressed last weekend and had to play because Wolfer got hurt. But he was benched, guys. He was absolutely benched. And now we have a Green Bay team who is rested. They're relaxed. They know this offense the Rams run because, guess what? Matt LaFleur runs a lot of the concepts in this offense. And there's a lot of talk about the Packers offense against the Rams defense, which is great, right? Because the Rams defense is, number one in pass defense, number one in deep passing. We talked about all this last week about why we kind of like the Rams, I think, against the Seahawks as far as getting the points there. Devontae Adams against Jalen Ramsey, they're all great matchups.
Yep.
But on the flip side, though, I don't think the Rams are going to score a lot of points. Like, that's a big part of this. Jared Goff is not good in cold weather. not good cold weather. All the stats back it up. He's only had two starts when the it's under 35 degrees, and his passer rating is 34 and a half. And completes 47%. Now, in a little warmer weather, though, 36 to 50 degrees, he's only completing 54% of his passes. It's not like it's that much better when that happens. Since week 10, he has the eighth worst passer rating when trying to throw the ball 10-plus yards. Like, he's not a good quarterback. He's very one-dimensional. And now you have a Packers defense that's getting better. Their run defense is not great, but with Jair Alexander on the outside, they can focus a lot of attention on shutting down the Rams' running game. And here's one specific place where the Packers have a big advantage, is play-action pass. So for years, and Rodgers has talked about this, they didn't use play-action pass with Mike McCarthy, and he was a little bit against it last season. From 2016 to 2019, the Packers only used 19% play-action pass on Rodgers' throws. He completed 63% of those. And we know play-action pass are long down-the-field throws, right? They're big gains. This season, they're up to 28% of his passes are play-action passes, completing 73% of those passes. 20 touchdowns, no interceptions off the run fake. But here's why it's important, specifically in this game. The Packers, the Rams defense allows 4.5 yards of separation on play-action passes. They're not good against play-action pass. They're good against drop-back pass. So this is very specific. I know it's very specific, but the Packers are good at it. The Rams are not. I think it's one place we get a lot of value in the Ram, in the Packers offense. I like the Packers minus 6.5.
Yeah. I do too. I'm wary of it because it's going to be the public side. But I'm with you. A few trends to look at. Rodgers, of course, off a bye. He's 10-5-1 against the spread. He covers 63% of his games at home in general. The Packers, look, I kind of think you're getting a little bit of a bargain on them, despite them being public, because the Rams surprised people last week. And we've talked about this. The Rams, I think, are just sort of a tough matchup for Seattle. I've heard a lot of people talking about the height of the D-line for the Rams, and it's tough for Russ to sort of see over those guys. Like, Brockers and Donald is huge. So that's interesting. The Rams may have just sort of gotten lucky last week. I mean, Goff was 9 of 19 for 155. You mentioned the cold weather. That's not a great spot for him. The Rams are also banged up. I mean, Cooper Kupp, he's banged up. He's still, of course, maybe recovering from the COVID situation. Aaron Donald, of course, banged up. It just doesn't feel like they belong in the same class as the Packers. And the other thing is this Adams and Ramsey thing that everyone's digging in on and saying, if you take away Adams, what is the Packers offense? Well, last week, Ramsey did great against DK Metcalf. Metcalf only had 33 yards lined up against Ramsey. But if you recall, he had 96 yards and two touchdowns. They move him around the field. Like, he's not going to shadow Adams every play. And Green Bay knows that. And they're going to get him loose. And he's going to do what he does. So, look, number ones against the spread since 2004, 11-22-1 against spread. Not great. But I do think that Green Bay can buck the trends here.
Those are great numbers. I want to reiterate this point. The Rams benched Jared Goff last weekend. Okay? So we're going to have a Packers team that's playing really good football. The Rams are going on the road, and they don't trust who the quarterback is.
Yep.
Their defense is really good. I get that.
That's right.
But since week four, the Rams offense has scored over 27 points just twice. One of them was last weekend. And that was, and that wasn't even their offense because they had a defensive touchdown, right? So they don't score a lot of points. So let's say they score 21 points. The Packers, I think, score 28. I have 31-20 as the final score in this game. Like, I think the Packers, we've seen time and time again, these number one offenses in this situation. And the Packers aren't number one per se, but a great offense over time, when the opposing offense doesn't score, that defense wears down. So I'm Packers here, minus 6.5.
Do you have any other exotics to look at, or a total?
Not in this one. I have a lot more in other games. But no, it's props Wednesday night aren't up. But I would look at Devontae Adams over. I think that number will be lowered because of Jalen Ramsey. I don't know what it's at now, but it feels like that's a spot to get him in. And Jared Goff under. Whatever Jared Goff's number is, just take the under.
I've got one for you, Jeff. This is okay. You're going to like this one.
Okay.
So I don't know the numbers yet, but I would be very intrigued about Robert Tonyan's props. So the Rams defense, they're number one in DVOA against number two wide receivers. So they're going to be keying in on Adams, but they tend to do well against those number twos. Tonyan, to score, is one I'd be interested in. Rodgers is going to have to find that safety valve. But here's the best stat about the Rams defense. So they gave up 7 touchdowns to tight ends this year, which is middle of the pack. But they gave up 7 touchdowns to wide receivers all season, which is best in the league. So if you're going to score through the air on them, you're probably going to do it with your tight end. And Tonyan had double-digit touchdowns this year. So I think that could be a sneaky one to get some value.
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah, love it. That's a fun one. That's why you come here, for some odd props.
That's
fantastic.
Right.
Fantastic. Love it.
All right. Well, that's my smartest thing of the week. Let's move on to the Saturday night game. Man, this one's so great. The Baltimore Ravens are going to Buffalo. Buffalo is laying 2.5 currently. Thoughts?
Yeah, I like the Ravens' money line. I wouldn't even take the 2 points. I just go straight money line here, and I'll explain why. It's the Bills' rushing defense is god-awful, okay?
Yep.
Their rushing defense is 23rd, according to EPA, which is expected points out. They're 25th in yards per attempt, and they're ranked 31st by Pro Football Focus. And if you look over the last 3 months when the Bills have played close games, whether it's the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Cardinals, who they ended up losing to in the Hail Mary, and now the Colts, what's the theme about why those games are close? The opposing team rushes the ball, right? The Cardinals rushed for 217, the Chiefs 245, Patriots 188, and Colts for 163. And look, the Bills won that game, credit to them. The Colts should have won that game. First team in playoff history to have 450 yards and no turnovers and lose a game. The Colts outplayed the Bills. Now they get a really hot Ravens team coming to town. Number one rushing offense in the NFL. We've known the last six games, they're averaging 262 yards on the ground per game. Lamar Jackson is playing a lot better than this offense. And the reason why, guys, we talked about this last week, is they're spreading things out on offense. Guess which defense in the NFL, Matt, is the worst in the NFL at stopping the run against a light, basically with a light box, right? So, one more guy than the offensive line can block sometimes, or maybe there's one guy for an RPO, whatever it is, light box, quote unquote, light box. The Bills, worst defense in the NFL, stopping the run against a light box. So I think all these things add up to the Ravens just coming in there and running the rock right at the Bills. Now, if you're back in the Bills here, and you might, Matt, Josh Allen's great against pressure. What does Baltimore do? Number one in the NFL at bringing extra rusher. They're 30% of the time they bring an extra rusher. So the question becomes, can the Ravens defense do enough to keep this game close where I can trust their offense? And I'll tell you one spot I like the Ravens. Is Josh Allen still, in close games down the stretch, has those YOLO plays? We saw against the Colts, right? And I think the Ravens, the way they pressure him, can get that out of him and force a turnover or two to win the game. He fumbled that ball. The Colts should have recovered and won the game. The Colts had every opportunity to win that game. The Bills, in the end, won. I get it. I like the Ravens here, Matt. Am I crazy?
You're not. I mean, the sharps are with you. This is a pro Joe matchup for now. As of now, 61% of the money is on the Ravens, but the slight majority of the bets, 52%, is on Buffalo. I've gone back and forth with this one. I'll probably go back and forth again. To your point, Lamar Jackson 4-1 is a road underdog. Allen only a 7-7. These are against the spread as a home favorite. Those are not great. But you mentioned Josh Allen against the blitz. He has a 111.6 pass rating against the blitz. Baltimore, you said it, blitzes more than any team in the NFL on defense. This one to me just came down to a few things. The first is home teams tend to win in this divisional round. They are 33-15 straight up in the new playoff format at home in the divisional round. They don't often cover. Road teams tend to cover 54% of the time, but the home teams, they've won 7 of the last 8 games. Ironically, Baltimore was the only one who did not pull off a home win. That was last year against the Titans, obviously.
Chime in real quick. The difference, obviously, in that record is that the 2-seed doesn't have a bye now. So it used to be where the 2-seed had a bye and fans in the stands. Buffalo played last weekend. So did Baltimore, obviously. So, I mean, those numbers, I think, matter more to, the Chiefs and to the Packers than does the Bills who play. All those kind of trends in divisional round almost have to be, tossed out because we have a new format now.
It's true. You're right. You should take it all with a grain of salt. All these trends in general, past doesn't dictate present or future, but that still stood out to me. Here's where I ultimately netted out. Baltimore played a perfect sort of game last week, and they got a lot of monkeys off their back, right? Like, they came back from behind, which everyone says they can't do. Lamar Jackson got his playoff win, and Buffalo, frankly, like, didn't play a great game, and they still won. And I think, you know, you mentioned, of course, Buffalo doesn't get the bye, but they are home again, and Baltimore's been on the road for three straight weeks. I think these teams are about even, and I'm willing to take a very good team who could win the Super Bowl as a short home favorite. That's just where I'm going to net out.
So Matt is on Buffalo. I'm on the Ravens here. I'll back my – this is a Jeff Schwartz special, right? We had Ravens fans hate me. Bills fans hate me. I think the one thing that worries me about my wager is the stats with the Ravens pressure, because we've seen against the Chiefs when they pressure that Pat Mahomes just eats them alive. And if they pressure Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs could go off. So that's my one hesitation. I do think I'm right about the Ravens running the football. So the bet I like best in this game is Lamar Jackson over his rushing prop, which I've seen about 60 yards, which is ridiculous. So, Matt, how about this? When he runs the ball on a zone keeper this year, right? So when he's doing, ball's in the belly, he runs. He averages 11 yards a carry. 11 yards a carry.
Unbelievable.
Even last weekend, I'll pull my notes back up here because I already put my notes up for the Chiefs game. If you take out the long run last weekend, he still rushed for like 5.5, 6 yards a carry. I mean, like they are doing some really, really good stuff in the running game. So that number to me feels way too low. So I think Lamar Jackson over his total feels like the best bet in this game. I'll take the Ravens money line. You have the Bills, but I think that's the best bet in my opinion.
Yeah, I like that. That's a fun one. I got another fun one for you, Jeff. This is inspired by our buddy Blackjack Fletcher,
nice.
who loved to bet first fives in baseball, so that he could just stop watching. So I'm not going to stop watching
under.
The DeGrom under, the Scherzer under. Yeah. He loved those. Here's one inspired by him. This is a first quarter bet.
Okay.
I wouldn't put the mortgage down on this, but you could parlay Baltimore to win the first quarter, I think it's like -120 there, and the points to go over 9.5. I got that for a little more than 2-1. The reasoning here, Baltimore is the highest scoring team in the first quarter, and Buffalo's the ninth. And Baltimore themselves, they're averaging 8 in the first quarter in their last 3. So to get over 10 feels very doable. And, you know, they come out of the gate hot. It's certainly not, if you do like Buffalo to win, it's certainly not impossible that they would come from behind after the first quarter. That's a fun one, right?
That's a great one. Look at you digging deep into the archives.
First quarter, man.
First quarter bet in the playoffs. Guys, that's why you come here, right? First quarter
bet.
That's
right. Exotics.
So let's move to the next game, Matt, because I have a lot to say in this game. So,
I can imagine you do. Your Kansas City Chiefs are 10-point favorites against the surprising Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Throughout the line, I'm not betting that line. Here's what I'm doing this game. I got two plays. Chiefs over team total. It's about 33. Maybe it's 32.5. Maybe it's 33.5. Many reasons why. Number one. In the 6 games that Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes have been together off a bye, they've scored 40, 31, 40, 51, 31, and 35. And those two 31 games were against the Colts in 2018 in the playoffs. Colts had the 10th best defense, DVOA, so a good defense. And the Niners in the Super Bowl, number one defense, right? So if they play a bad defense, they score 40 points a game off a bye. And guess what, guys? The Browns' defense is a huge steaming pile of poo. Take out the Steelers game because they're in prevent defense the whole time. The Browns' defense, here we go. Ready? 29th in overall DVOA. They're 29th on deep passes, 29th on third down passes, 28th on passes to the tight end. Okay? They're not good in anything on defense. The goal may be, I saw an article today that was like, here's the ways to beat the Chiefs. It was 5 things someone had to do to beat the Chiefs. It was like 5 different ways to do it. And one of them was like, hit the quarterback. Great. No, don't bring pressure. Great. But guys, Mahomes came out and his wife confirmed the story that it was told to a media member. But Mahomes and Travis Kelce spent the entire week leading up to this weekend scouting the defenses they might play in the AFC, and came prepared to work on Monday with notebook full of ways to attack the Cleveland Browns.
I love that.
And they know they haven't played well on offense recently. They know that. And this season, when Mahomes has not played well, like the week two game against the Chargers, where his EPA, expected points added, was just above league average, the next week he was up to 90th percentile. Then he played poorly against the Raiders, went back up above 90%. He knows he hasn't played terribly great. At the Falcons game, now 3 weeks ago, they played bad on offense. So I get a motivated Pat Mahomes, a motivated Chiefs offense, a poor Browns defense who emotionally is probably still high on their win against Pittsburgh. I even get maybe a Browns offense that scores a bunch of points that forces the Chiefs offense to stay aggressive the entire game. Look, the Browns aren't forcing five turnovers this weekend. They're not doing it. The 10 scares me, but this number right here, over 33, is the way I'm going.
I love it. That's great. I don't know exactly what my take is, how it's going to fit into that. But I do like the number here, and I like the plus 10 for Cleveland. Even though that basically means like you hate fun if you're going against Mahomes in the playoffs and read off of a bye, you might as well light that money on fire usually. But here's what I'm thinking. So it's odd to pick a game where the team I'm citing is like a good example, lost by 16. But early in the season, I think it was week 5. Do you remember that Pats Chiefs game where it was close until pretty late and Brian Hoyer threw a garbage interception, and I think the Chiefs scored after that.
Yeah.
In that game, that was close all game. The Patriots ended up running 74 plays to the Chiefs 55, right? They just held the ball and sat on it, and it felt like Mahomes was getting kind of antsy on the sideline because he was just sitting there and not doing anything. Yeah. I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen here. So KC has the 31st rush defense in DVOA. They're allowing 9 yards per catch for running backs this season. So there's going to be Chubb and Hunt are going to go off in this. Kansas City also has the 32nd red zone defense this season. And Cleveland is scoring 72% of the time in the red zone. 72% of the time they're scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
Good, yeah.
So if they get in there, they're going to just, you know, I could just see them just running a ton of plays. And Mahomes is sitting there like, get me on the field, I'm ready to go. And they can score on every possession. But if, you know, the time of possession is all out of whack, I think Cleveland could keep this close. The other thing, I mentioned this earlier peripherally, but the road teams tend to cover, I think it's 55% of the time,
yeah.
Something like that in these matchups. This is a 10. Cleveland's, you know, they had a sort of a fluky one last week, but like, yeah, they might be sort of, you know, celebrating, but I do think that they can keep this close. They have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And even if they're down by 14, they're still going to keep handing it off. So I like the plus 10.
I'm with you on more the plus 10. But here is the thing I want us to stop talking about. You didn't mention this because you mentioned the important part of this whole discussion. People say, well, run the football. That's how you beat the Chiefs. And you keep the ball away from Mahomes. It works for the Patriots. The Patriots are the only team that can do that because they have a great defense. You have to finish those drives with touchdowns. You mentioned the red zone stats are very good. So to just say, well, the formula is running the football. If you score 7, it is. But if you score 3, it's not the formula. And what happens if you're down 31-20, 31-21, 34-24 in the third quarter? Are you going to abandon doing that? And the Browns last weekend won a game, scored a bunch of points in offense with Mayfield averaging like 3.5 yards air attempts. Like it wasn't like Mayfield lit him up. Now they ran the football very well, but the Chiefs, man, I don't know what it is about their defense. Their defense, the numbers are bad, but they kind of just get enough stops in a game. Like, I don't know what it is. And I just
sort of like their offense.
Well, yeah. I mean, so I think that Cleveland is probably the play here at plus 10, but I think that the over the points is the way to go here. If you're taking and my second favorite wager, by the way, Travis Kelce over 80.5 yards receiving. I mentioned Brown's 28th on passes to the tight end, according to our fine friends at Football Outsiders at DVOA. Here's some more numbers for you. The Browns this year have allowed the 5th most targets to tight ends. They've allowed the 4th most catches to tight ends and 8th most receiving yards to tight ends. And when Chiefs are coming off a bye, they target Kelce a lot. In the six games, again, with him, Andy Reid, and Pat Mahomes off a bye, he's had 90 yards in five of the six games. I think that Travis Kelce is due for a big game here. So I would take the Chiefs team total. I would take Travis Kelce over. And Matt, you have the Browns plus 10. I get that good there?
Yeah, that's good. I don't really have a great feel on the total because I'd probably take the under. It's the highest one of the week, but it doesn't really go with what I think about the game. So I think I would just lay off.
The interesting part about if you were to guess which team offensively did not come out and play well, it would be the Browns, right? Like, so there is a formula for the under, I think, but it's hard to believe that because the Browns just played very, very, very good football, right?
Yeah. 84% of the bets are on the over, because of course, and 60% of the money is on the under. So that's a big split. I don't know if that'll keep going up because of all the sharps hitting it the other way. So I don't know who's betting a Chiefs game under. That's ridiculous.
I'm not.
Life's too short.
I'm not.
All right, last game of the weekend. Brady Breeze, man. What's the line right now? We've got it at Saints by 3. Hosting the Bucks.
I have no idea. I no idea. I like the under in this game, under 52. It's climbed from 49 up to 52. There's many reasons I like the under. But I don't know. The Saints played in Tampa, played week one. Brady was breaking a new offense. They played week eight. The offense that Tampa is running now looks nothing like the offense they're running in week eight. They got hammered 38-3. They're a different offense now. Tom Brady's averaging, I think it's 34 yards over the last five games, but that's against not that good defenses. And he wasn't that sharp against Washington. The Saints defense, guys, is really good. They only allow 21 points per game. And there's a reason why they're good. They rush the passer extremely well. Marshawn Lattimore has played Mike Evans multiple times in the division. Since 2017, Marshawn Lattimore has only allowed 9 catches on 20 targets to Mike Evans. Like, he's played really well against him. So we have a good Saints defense against a Tampa Bay offense, who I believe in more, but you watch that game, they still have kind of those lulls, right? It's like I don't know about still not kind of, not Chris, if the right guard's out, Kappa, that was a big loss in that game. Once he went out, we saw the Payne come and make a lot of plays on Tom Brady. And, you know, the other side, Drew Brees, for whatever reason, the offense is not as good in the playoffs as the regular season. Did you know their last four playoff games? Last four. They've only scored between 20 and 23 points. That's it. They don't score a lot in the playoffs. Now you have a Tampa Bay defense, number one in the NFL in stopping their run. Number one in rush defense between the tackles, where Alvin Kamara excels in the National Football League. Now, Lavonte David is PFF's fifth-ranked cover linebacker, which will be good. Now, Devin White's not. Devin White's awful against the pass. So if the Saints can find a way to put Kamara on him, they could generate points. I think this is a stat I saw. I want to make sure that I get this right. Drew Brees only attempted 19 passes all season that are considered, like, deep passes. So I just think we have, like, two okay offenses and two really good defenses, and all the money's on the over right now. I'll take the under.
Checks out. Indoor playoff games go over 70% of the time, but these are two really good defenses. So I don't really have a feel. That was just a good stat I have. For the spread in this, two things I found really interesting in my research. First of all, teams that are looking to avoid a three-game sweep, you would think they've played seven times in the playoffs since 2002. You would guess, you know, they're 5-2. They're actually 2-5 straight up.
The team has lost the first two games.
Yeah, 2-5 in the third game. So you would think that'd be a good reason to take the Bucks. It's actually, according to the data, a good reason to take the Saints. The other thing is, like, these two teams, obviously, they play a lot, it being in the same division. Of the last nine, the Saints have won 7. And Kamara has never really gone off against the Bucks. Like, they kind of keep him contained. And Michael Thomas, he in his 9 games against the Bucks, he's had 2 monster games, but the games this year, he didn't really do anything, which to me just seems to say that, like, the Saints just kind of have a read on this team. Like, they can figure out how to get Tre'Quan Smith and the tight ends involved to beat this defense. last time these two teams played, you mentioned it was a beatdown, right? 38-3. The Bucks had 8 rushing yards in that whole game. But the Saints actually like kind of didn't play that well on offense. They fumbled 3 times, but still won by 35. So I just think that New Orleans kind of has the Bucks number. And, you know, Tom Brady could prove me wrong for the millionth effing time. Yeah. But New Orleans is only they gave up 216 yards per game through the air this season. So they probably need a big game out of those backs. And Jones hasn't been healthy. And Fournette, you know, you want to go all in on Leonard Fournette? I'm not sure I would. So I don't know. I felt like the only thing we're talking about out of the Saints last week is slime cannons. Like they're flying under the radar. Yeah, I'm willing to take them.
Did you watch the Nickelodeon broadcast?
I did, yeah.
What do you think of it?
Well, shout out to our mutual buddy, Nate Burleson.
He was great.
Who did a fantastic job. I loved it, man. I loved the tone of just sort of like, it was very respectful to kids, but clearly like catered to them. I really enjoyed the graphics and all that silly stuff. What did you think?
I watched a couple of minutes of it. It was okay. I mean, I don't watch games for the commentary anyways. Like I often watch games on mute. So my kids watch a little bit of it. My son was like, oh, SpongeBob. I think they had it. They hit the field goal or extra point, and SpongeBob like popped up on the. It was good. Look,
it was funny, man.
Anytime we can use ways to get kids involved in watching football, I am all for. So that was great. I don't know. I don't think they're doing that the rest of the playoffs. But maybe for the Super Bowl they'll bring it back. But that was fabulous. I just find this game real quick. Back to the game real quick. It's like we have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. This game should be, and I think most of us are like. And your stat about teams playing the third time, I want to acknowledge this because there's actually a reason for this. Typically, if you've won the first two games, you're just a better team. The third game, you're still the better team. But I think with Tampa, it's offensively, they're just so different now. So I do lean aside with New Orleans, I think. And all the money, by the way, is on Tampa, so I kind of lean New Orleans. But I think the under here at 52, I mean – it can't keep going as high as that. So I think it's kind of is where it's at. It's been up 3 points now. I'd go with the under here.
Well, if I would advise if you're going to take the under, which I'm leaning towards doing, wait. This is going to be the ultimate chase game. When people lose their bets over the weekend, they're going to come in and they're going to bet this number and it's going to go up. It's going to be Brady Breeze on Sunday night and everyone's going to go over, and then you're going to go to kickoff and you're going to get like 2 free points. That would be my advice.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Are there any games this weekend where you see like live betting opportunities?
I love the live betting has like gotten me through these. I mean, if Buffalo goes down early, that feels like a good one.
I think Green Bay is the same way. If Green Bay goes down like 7-0, 10-0, you get them under a field goal or get them on a better money line. That feels good. I do think though, if the Chiefs are up like 14-0 early on, like if they're at like favored by 20, like it's probably going to be, if they go up 14-0, are it's going to 20.5 or more, you think?
I mean, it's the Chiefs. I feel like sometimes it just goes off.
If it's at 20.5, I might take 20.5. They're 14-0.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Last week, I got sucked in with the Titans. They were up. Were they up 10-0, right? I think they were up 10-0.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, because Lamar threw the bad interception.
Yeah, and I got -3. And I was like, dude, the Ravens never come back. Like, this is a lock. And I put in, like, 2 units on it, and it just vanished, and I couldn't believe it. I don't usually live bet, but that one was just, like, this is a no-brainer.
I took Steelers +18.5 and almost +400 on the money line at one point. And
Wow, that was fun.
I hit the +18.5. And if Tomlin had gone for it in a fourth down, maybe I hit the other one, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that could have been fun.
So we got our picks. This is divisional round. It's in.
Yeah, we
it's
do.
Done. Anything else, Matt?
No, I mean, I want to ask you about all these quarterbacks that are going to move around, but maybe that's better served for the offseason or the week before the Super Bowl. It just feels like there's so much that's going to happen this year with the quarterbacks.
There definitely is.
I'm curious what you think.
And we will have plenty of time to do that. We're going to have fun this offseason. We're going to do some interviews. We're going to have some fun topics to discuss. I'm looking forward to that. I don't want the season to end, you know, this quickly. But, divisional round, it's here. ready to go. And thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your bets. Please rate, review, subscribe. We really appreciate getting the feedback at Jeff Schwartz on Twitter, Jeff with a G. And have a great weekend, everyone. Talk to you guys Tuesday.